Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Ciao, everybody. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli. Stephen here. I'm going to give you a little bit of an intro again, because this is our second part in our interview with Joe and Andrea. But I want to give you a couple updates first before we get into that interview. First, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our extra virgin olive oil. If you shop with us at villacapelli.com, you might have noticed it is out of stock. Unfortunately, this year harvest was just a little bit late, so we're just now getting around to getting that stuff into some tins and bottles to get to you guys to ship it stateside. We are looking into some faster shipping methods rather than shipping it by boat. So hopefully, maybe if it works out, we can get something to you quicker. But thanks so much for hanging in there with us and supporting us. We couldn't do this without you guys, obviously. So if you are interested in the oil, just remember to sign up for our newsletter. There's also, if you go to the actual specific product on the page and it's out of stock, you can sign up a little message and says, you know, please notify me when it comes back into stock. So just hang in there with us, guys. We appreciate it so much. And I'm so sorry it's out of stock, but just know it is coming very quickly as soon as we can get it there. And on that same note, we have a listener question. Finally got a voicemail from you guys. Hey, if you have any questions or concerns, just go to livingvillacapelli.com. Hit the little banners on the side. You can leave us a voicemail. And all you do is record your message and you're done. So, and we get this message. And so Patrick Henry was nice enough to leave us a message, a question, which I'm going to answer after you hear his question.
How do you open the top of the Villa Capelli olive oil?
Thank you again, Patrick, for that question. It's a very good one. We've actually gotten it a couple times. You know, we think it's self-evident, but obviously it's not. I guess just we've been experienced with them for so long now. But essentially, you'll see I'll explain more. He's actually talking about the cap on the 3-liter tins. So on the 3-liter tins, there's a yellow plastic cap on the top. And on this, on the outside of that plastic cap, you'll see a smaller kind of little ring that's kind of circling the cap. You're going to want to, there's a little bitty tab kind of in the front that you use your fingernail or a butter knife, and you're trying to pull that little ring up and breaking it away from the rest of the cap. And this creates a little bit of a handle that you then put your finger in and just pull up, and that pulls the entire pouring spout cap out of the 3-liter tin, and then from there you just unscrew it and pour. So we will make a video of this, and I will post that in the show notes, guys, at livingvillacapelli.com/27 for episode 27. So we'll have a little video for there and some pictures. So that'll be a nice place for this to live, a little instructional video on how to open 3-liter tins. And if you guys have any questions, again, please feel free to leave them at livingvillacapelli.com. Go there. We'd love to have more of you involved in the show. It's the show for you guys as much as it is for us. So any kind of questions, you know, nothing is too small, too big. Let us know. And we would be happy to feature you on the show like we just did, Patrick. So without further ado, let's get into our interview with Joe and Andrea.
Customers come through.
Do you think that in the U.S., I know a few people that have worked their entire lives, and then at the very end of their life they get sick and they blow through their retirement money and their savings, mm-hmm. and so aside from the fact that they never actually got to their dreams because they got sick,
right?
But in Italy it seems like properties are handed down. Mm-hmm. I know, like, kids will stay with their parents longer, and they have the mamoni and all those things.
Yeah.
But do you think that houses and property stay in families more here because they're not going broke with healthcare at an old age?
It's not so much because they're not going broke and with care. First of all, it's because in Italy, people are not as mobile or transient as we are in America. In America, we have no problem with getting up and moving.
Right.
It's like, okay, I got to find a new job, so I'll go somewhere, which is actually a good thing.
It is.
Because we're not restrained, we're not handcuffed down to our job. Yeah. Whereas here, it's not like that. Here, they want to stay close to home. They want to keep a job close to home. They want to have mommy do their laundry. They want to have mommy cook them dinner and all that other stuff. But there isn't that risk, like you said. You know, it's like when the financial crisis hit in, was it 2008? 2008. Right? Yeah. Americans ended up in tent cities. I mean, living under bridges because they lost everything. Yeah. Whereas here, that doesn't happen. You'll have three generations living under one roof. As long as one person has a job, that one person can pay the rent. And then the rest of it, we'll figure it out. We'll go and we'll pick grasses, wild grasses from the fields if we have to, because we know it's good for you. So it is, again, this arte of arrangiarsi, of getting by. We, as a family, we can get by. Whereas we've lost sort of that in the States, because the more you move away from the nucleus of the family, the more you are untethered and you're out there in space by yourself.
Then you're racking up debt because you need to do all these things.
Is that a direct translation or is that your translation? What is the direct translation?
No, the arte of l'arte di arrangiarsi. It's the art of getting by, of figuring out how to get by.
In English, it sounds kind of negative, and to me, it's like the art of living.
No, it's a different thing. No,
like
the art of living is la dolce vita.
It's like a positive, a resilience, or a zest for getting by, not necessarily
you can have less as long as you have each other.
Right. And there's some kind of
supportive.
But it's also being able to figure out. That's why, you know, Casey and Logan and, you know, we go out hunting for mushrooms, hunting for wild grasses, all this stuff. Because at the end of the day, one of the things I loved about moving to Italy was that, especially in rural Italy, is that you can figure out how to eat without spending any money if you really have to.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I guess, most people in America would say getting by to them would mean food stamps.
Right.
Which is not the same thing here.
Not at all.
This is being resilient.
That would be
and
the
having each other and you figure it out.
That, yeah.
Yeah. You have family that's like somebody's, you know, somebody's working a job, but the other people are going out and picking the greens in the field for lunch.
Don't get me wrong. You know, Italy is, for healthcare and all that stuff, a very socialist country. Yeah. Taxes are high, but it all washes out in the end. Whether, you know, either you pay high taxes and you get everything for free, or you pay lower taxes, which in the States, we don't really pay that much lower taxes to begin with, and you get nothing for free. Right. So, you know, one way or the other, it's got to come out of somewhere.
Exactly.
But in Italy, people know that, you know, a lot of people that have moved to the North, young people, have come back down to the South to live with their family because they know that at the end of the day, Italy takes care of you. Italy is one of those countries where they really, their heart really does go out to people. It's weird. Yeah. It's they're not going to let anyone just fall by the wayside. Here in Tbilisi, we're so proud of the fact that we have one homeless person.
Yeah.
And you saw him today.
I saw him twice.
Yeah.
You don't see homeless people.
I mean, there's no such thing as shelters or anything like that, like a homeless shelter.
They do have for migrants.
I gotta admit, it seems like they should probably get ahead of their homeless problem now. They only have one.
That's right.
You probably take care of them.
It doubles really quickly.
Luckily, he's old enough that he probably can't have kids.
Right.
So
to add to what you were saying, Stephen, the idea that does everyone in the family have a different role? Like if somebody comes back and somebody goes out and works, and does someone else, you know, do the housework? Does someone else go out?
The women always do the housework. The women in Italy do not want the men. The women in Italy do not want the men to do any housework.
Get out of my kitchen.
Yes, but it's not because of that. I think it's because they feel that they have lost their reason for being.
Yes, that's true.
A woman's role to them is to take care of the home. So the woman's role is to take care of the home. The man's role is to go out and bring home some money so we can feed the family. So here, especially in the South, if you don't have a job, which a lot of people don't have full-time jobs for a lot of different reasons, but
are you there a lot of part-time jobs?
Yes. But
seasonal
off the books.
Things?
Oh. Yes. So like now it's olive picking season.
Right.
Season. So anyone can go out and earn 50 euro a day.
Harvesting
olives. So
that's, you know, witnessing that today, that's really hard work for 50 euro a day.
Exactly. Yeah, it is very
you're
hard.
Gonna be,
but,
your back is going to be vibrating all night after shaking those trees.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, so 50 euro a day, you're making 1,500 a month. Right?
Right.
If you're lucky enough to work for, you know, the season goes from October through the end of January. Mm-hmm. So 1,500 a month, whereas some laborers in Italy only make 800 a month. Yeah. So, you know, so, and if you have two kids in the household, mm-hmm. that's 3,000 a month. Most of these people have bought their homes.
Yeah.
So they have no mortgage. Or they have a very, very low mortgage.
They own outright their property, homes.
So, you know, they figure out how to get by. The other great thing about it is, if you live at home with your parents here in Italy, one of the things that I could never figure out, whether it's here in Italy or even in the States, especially with Italian Americans, and I guess probably Irish Americans too, they had a way, I don't know how the hell they did it, they had a way of putting money away. They always figured out how to put money away. So they always had money, so much money that they put away. What's this? She okay?
No, she's fine. She
just
wanted soup.
Mom. Mom calling again on the walkie-talkie. She just wanted some soup.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
For some reason, the generation before us could always squirrel away enough money to make their kids, to at least give their kids a chance.
And it literally is under the mattress. Well, no joke. It's literally under the mattress a lot of times.
This must be in the blood. Because I've always taken every little coin and everything he knows too.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, like a squirrel.
In the old days, I remember in the old days, when I was a kid growing up in Boston, right, in Dorchester in Boston, when you went to the bank, they had a Christmas club.
Yes.
Right?
You could put away in this Christmas club.
We don't have those anymore. And it was just a way of putting away $5 every week. Leading up to Christmas, so that when Christmas comes, I have money to buy gifts.
You have a little thing to buy.
What is your mom might be now of the bonds? I just cashed my bonds. I used to get from my grandparents all the time.
U.S. savings bonds.
Yes, and she just had some here from her.
They used to be advertised. Have you ever heard of U.S. savings bonds being advertised?
Not anymore. Oh, no. God. I just cashed mine. They were like,
in the old days, I'm talking, you know, 40 years ago.
Like, I really sat on that for long enough to prove something. It was
great. For 20, 30
years. In the wait.
In the quote-unquote old days, 40 years ago, you put money in the bank and you would get interest on the money you had in the bank. Now, you don't get any interest and you have to pay the bank every month to hold your money in the bank that they can use. I mean, what is wrong with the system? It's obscene.
Right now it's
obscene. It is totally gone the other way.
I want to go back to a little change of subject, but you were saying too about the women taking care of the home. I remember my very first trip here, we were at Dino's and having dinner, and you and I got up to start helping clear the plates. And Dino was like, "What are you doing? There are women here to do that."
Yeah.
We glorious scientists.
What? I was like, it was such a horribly sexist comment. But at the same time,
shocking, that
women kind of were kind of offended that we were doing it to some degree.
Right.
It was like, don't take my job. Like, what are you doing? And I'm hoping you clear the table. All I was doing was taking a plate.
The lion, by
no,
the way.
No. Dino, by the way, had a pet lion.
What was the lion's name?
Brado.
Oh, I know his name.
I said I would have named him cool Sprinkles, name. But hey, that's me.
But what it really comes down to is that women in Italy, especially since that, you know, going back 30, 40, 50 years, didn't really work. Their job was to take care of the household. So if you take that away from them, then you're taking away really their not their reason for being, but they felt like they feel like they're not adding to the household. They're not contributing. So if the men are going to go out into the fields and work, whether they're picking olives in the winter or plowing the lands in the summer, they're working and they're bringing home some money. So I, as a woman, what am I contributing? If I'm not cooking, if I'm not doing the shopping, if I'm not cleaning the house.
And if you added up the value of the amount of work that was done there, it probably might have even exceeded what was done.
Exactly.
Because it was really, you could not put a price on that. No. That was a job in itself. And it was really interesting, actually, when I looked at the census records of my Italian family, because I'm Italian American, of my family, when they came over, I always looked to see what the women did, because I was curious to see if they had jobs too. Mm-hmm. The Vitales, they were icemen. You know, they delivered ice, and so all, in Brooklyn,
all the southern Italians were icemen. No, seriously, it's true. There were icemen in the summer. They would deliver ice with ice picks that they would also kill people with. It's true. Yes, they would put garlic on the ice pick, because when that ice pick went into your intestines, the garlic would poison your intestine and you would die very quickly. So
death by garlic.
Yes,
so, that's the way I want to go, because that's the most likely way that I'm going to go.
Icemen in the summer, icemen in the summer, and home heating oil in the winter.
Oh right, utilities.
Yes. Yes, yeah. that's what they did.
That's really, I'm glad to know that.
Coal even back further.
You know, I feel like I've seen that on there too.
So did the women have any jobs?
Yes, the women, they did. And they like the sisters and stuff, and my great aunts, they had jobs. They work like in offices, like clerical stuff or typists or something. But at that time, you know,
they
this
were
was
fancy.
Like the early 1900s or the 1920s. Ooh. And they were, you know, my family emigrated in like 1908. So when they came over, I guess these women, you know, everybody kind of had to contribute, because there was like 12 kids in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're of working age.
Yeah.
I guess they were going to work. Even the women did.
Yeah, once they got to New York, they worked. But here, not so much.
I wouldn't imagine so. But in New York, maybe that was part of the what's so interesting about the cultural differences.
When did the suffrage happen here? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. No.
Because we were just talking about this, because Paul's cousin, who's trying to get her citizenship here, she was trying to get it through her paternal, or I don't know, one of her grandmothers. And when she died, she could not, the law was the women could not pass on that right to their children.
Oh, that's right.
It's the same thing in royalty. That England just finally changed. Even England just changed it. Where now royalty can be passed down to the woman.
Oh, see,
before they couldn't.
And so his cousin she has a lawyer, and he's won all these cases where he sues the government, saying this is a sexist law.
Yeah.
The women should be able to pass that down, and so
world,
and they win it, and
like
they he's been winning.
Absolutely, should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a strange. Right. You didn't think about it back then. They could not pass down poverty.
But I also think that sort of gave women a lot of strength back then, because it goes back.
It was a domain. They had their domain.
Yes, exactly. Which is why Italian women, even to this day, do not want you to take that domain away. When they see you doing the dishes and clearing the table, that's my domain. Because if you take that away from me, then what am I contributing? Because society still does not allow me to go out and get a job where I get paid the same amount as a man does. Just like it happens
even
in the
United
US.
States.
Exactly.
70% on the dollar.
Exactly.
Lucky we owned our own business. Yeah. I charge the same as, you know, my husband. Right. We go on the business.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I went to college and grad school, and then I went into the working world, and I have an experience where I made less than my male coworkers, and even though I had a college degree. It's total bullshit, but it really exists and it really happens.
It's amazing.
And that's God, the ERA. What a revolutionary idea that was. College,
but you make less in the workforce.
Well, also to me, it's like, because I had so many women.
And we are the most modern society in the world, supposedly, in the US, right?
I've had more women bosses than I've had male bosses, like direct bosses. The superiors above them were usually male, but I've had more female direct bosses.
Of course, they can pay them less.
That's mentality. It's weird to me.
Quota or something that they're checking off and saying, oh, we have minority, we have females.
And which is why I hate to say it, but it's true. But 35 years ago, when I had women bosses, they were the biggest pains in the ass towards guys. Because they had a chip on the shoulder. Rightfully so, they had a chip on the shoulder. But you as a guy didn't understand what the chip on the shoulder was, but maybe they were right.
I've had to show three times as hard what I can do three times as well you, just to be seen as your equal. That gets very tiring, and you get mad because it's bullshit. You know,
it's so weird to me because I guess maybe against my generation. Like, I mean, I had a female partner for 15 years. She was my art director, Anne Lee. Hi, Anne. But it's like, I mean, to me, it was like, just didn't. Equals, and that was equal. It's like, it just doesn't.
Because your personal relationship. There have been so many times where Joe and I, and I shit you not, we've been in the same place talking to the same people, and they've talked to him about tattoos, and they look at me and they're like, you're a tattoo artist also? Yeah. Yes, I am. You know, it's like they go blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable that I could be in this same world and do the same job. And I have a fine arts education. It's like, what?
It's the same thing once again.
It's that same thinking.
Seven years ago.
It happened to me like 3 weeks ago.
7 years ago, we had an election in the United States where everyone seemed to be, at least initially, rooting for Hillary Clinton.
Love her, voting for her.
So what happens is a black man comes into the race.
Right.
And just like what happened years and years and years ago, black people got the right to vote women.
Preach it. You know the pecking order of how things work in the United States. Exactly. And that's just how it works.
So people decided to vote for the black man before they would vote for a woman in America.
Right. And supposedly Washington kind of threw their support to him because of the boys club element.
But it also looked better for all of us.
It looked a lot better.
So America
and
is always
Barack Obama, but I was
I love Barack Obama.
Supporter.
I'm glad that he won.
Me too. I voted
did not
for him
want
last
him
time.
To win. I voted for him the second time.
I wrote in Hillary's name the first time.
Okay.
Spiteful vote. That's what we do.
But, but there is a problem in America, I believe. I don't want to be an anti-American now that I'm living in Italy. But women get the short end of the stick every friggin' time.
I'll tell you a story.
I agree. And I also feel like right after the women's issues are the GLBT, like that community, then gets addressed. So I feel like that's like where my heart goes next, because I see that same, it's like just traverses the whole scale
for another 40 years.
But that's declared out of America.
Because Abraham Lincoln was already gay.
Really,
you guys didn't know that.
Yeah.
The first people who were allowed to own land, white males. Then, you know, black males. And then it went to women who didn't have suffrage till 1920. So this is an order and how things happen in America. Yeah. I'm not hopeful because I see change now and it's huge change. And I'm so grateful for it. But it still doesn't take away that it's very frustrating. The pay scale, that's the difference in the pay scale.
Yeah.
And the legality of discrimination against transgender people is
how can any politician in America vote against equal pay for equal work?
That's my question.
How can any woman in America vote for a Republican that votes against equality for women, because that's the real issue. Now that
this is where you bang your head against a wall and you go, how?
Now that we have somewhat semblance of equality for blacks, we have somewhat of a semblance for equality for gays because they're allowed to get married. Right. Where the hell is the equality for women?
Right.
Why are we so against having a woman run our country?
Fear, like anything. Fear. It's fear, and it's
Is it going to make you less of a man?
I think it makes you more of a man.
Well, you do because you're a woman.
Well, because I recognize what being a strong man is, being a strong person who's not afraid to say what's right, and that's across the board. So,
well, it's also because their periods attract bears.
This is a joke we hear we like to attract bear. We used to have a camper, right? So we go and
attract bears. They say,
but
oh, very
so you don't want bear attacks.
No,
my husband, the self.
Obviously, they're obviously from Pennsylvania, where there's not bears.
Oh, that's him. I don't know.
This is a very political episode of Villa Capella. Well, we've talked.
All
right.
I think just to summarize, I'll try to summarize it. I think equality, it has to be across the board, and one group has to fight for the other, because really it's just about human rights. So if we're all concerned about our own rights, civil liberties, we have to be concerned about everybody else's.
Absolutely.
It's all one discrimination is as bad as the next.
Yes.
And so I'm glad that I see the U.S. moving toward that. But, you know, this takes time. It's frustrating.
Yes.
It takes time. It's amazing, like you said, though, how fast it is moving.
I feel like it's starting to barrel down.
Because it's,
snowball.
Like our generation and then the generation even below us. Crazy. Right. It's like they don't see the race. They don't see
it. And you know, the conservatives fire, are loud, we have to be loud.
Yes.
The fire is going out in our wood burning stove. It's chilly here in January in winter. So we have to stop this podcast.
Yes.
Diatribe. And so how are we going to call? Buffo is here.
Buffo, you want to say hi?
His microphone.
Can you hear him purring?
We want to invite all of you to go to
FancyCatSauceCo.com.
FancyCatSauceCo.com.
Cats, period, poor.
Cat.
FancyCat.co.
Fancy?
No, let's do this again.
FancyCatSauceCo.com.
Okay, I'll have all the links in the show notes,
guys. Yes, he'll do that for you. And obviously to VillaCapelli.com for our products.
Because it reminded me of something that we did not cover. I'm going to cover this a little bit at the end of this. These guys were talking about how the hot sauce helped them get over their loss of their cat. We did a whole episode, guys, on our red tropea conserve. You might have noticed if you went to the website, it's not called the red tropea conserve anymore. It's actually cipollone, which means little onion in dialect.
Big onion.
Oh, big onion?
Yes.
Okay, big onion.
How do you say it?
Cipollone.
Cipollone. We named this after our friend, just want to mention this, just in case you guys go there, that actually passed away in a horrible car accident.
He was killed brutally in a truck accident.
About a year and a half ago. So to honor him, it was his nickname, was Cipollone, because supposedly the story goes when he was a little kid, he was, I don't know how old he was, like 5 or 6 something, was courting this other girl in school, and she decided she did not want to be his girlfriend, so she broke up with him on the playground, and he cried like a big onion. So years later, she ran into him when they were basically back in high school and said, oh, I remember you. You were the kid I broke up with and you cried like a big onion. And of course, all of his friends heard the story. And from then on, he was Cipollone.
So it was like a perfect kind of way to honor his memory.
We actually bought that after hearing your podcast, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is as good as advertised. Okay. Wow,
it's wonderful.
It was really great.
It's wonderful.
So
it was a nice way to honor him, and that's why you guys see his picture on there and all that stuff. Wanted to mention that. Paul's like giving me the like wrap it up sign, yeah, like a producer.
Like fucking going on forever.
Because when he goes on forever about whatever. Exactly.
We are gonna.
So whenever Paul corrects me, you have to take a shot.
Yes, sir.
That's a drink.
So that's the new drinking game we're gonna introduce in a couple of weeks: the Villa Capelli podcast drinking game.
Yes.
That whenever I correct Stephen, which is very often. Everyone at home, unless you're driving,
we're drinking.
You gotta take a shot.
And meanwhile, you have to take a double shot when I'm right and he's wrong, because which is 90% of the time.
Which you won't have to do.
No.
Or if Paul contradicts himself, you have to.
Yeah, exactly. Hello. Oh, yeah. See, they point out. Yeah.
All right. I'm being picked on. We're shutting this down.
Guys. Yes.
So the sensors are coming in.
The biggest thing. Yes.
Thank you so much for having us. Grazie.
Andrea and Joe, it's been a pleasure. Andrea and Joe, this is the second time here. We love having repeat visitors, and it's just awesome. We love you guys.
Right. We love you.
Arrivederci, guys.
Ciao. Buonanotte.
Ciao, buonanotte.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we enjoyed doing it. One last little housekeeping I wanted to talk to you guys about is our villa rental site. We just revamped the site. We have some brand new pictures up there of the recent wedding pictures, some of the new space, all the bedrooms. We don't really talk about this site too much, but you can access it directly at vcvilla.com. That's VictorCharlieVilla.com. You'll also see links to that site on all the other sites as well. Just wanted to let you guys know about that in case you wanted to see more pictures of the villa. We'd appreciate you sharing that site with any friends or family you might know that are coming to Italy. We'd love to have you all here and join us. So that pretty much does it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, arrivederci.